Hello, welcome to Stephen Speak, Series 3. This episode, I've jiggled the schedule around a little bit because I did pre-record some stuff, but I've decided to insert an additional one about my holiday in Turkey, about the journey, about what I did when I got there, the R&R that I rightly deserved, I feel. And just a little bit of a chat about Turkey, really. So, if you've never been to Turkey, or you do like Turkey, the country, that is, not the meat, not the animal, I think you got that, travel to a turkey. Right, let's just start, because I'm already getting ridiculous. Welcome to Stephen Speak the Podcast. Unscripted prattle on everything and nothing. Ah, marvellous, 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 marvellous. Sat in the lovely green glow of my LED light in my room and my new on-air sign that I think I've put that on social media, so you may have seen that. If not, go and check out my social media at StephenSpeakPC. Plug! I feel very silly today. I don't know what changes, really. There may be a bit of ranting today, so I apologise in advance. The rant alarm may go off, because travelling sucks. I don't know what it is about the world, and maybe it's just a UK thing. Maybe it's just a British person thing, I don't know. Yeah, the holiday is also the journey. I know people say that. And I love a road trip, and going to the airport and going through the airport process, and yeah, it's just crap. I just don't like it at all. So we went to Turkey. We come back. It seems like ages ago now, but it was only a few days ago. We went for 9 nights, which is a strange kind of time scale to go for. Never gone anywhere for 9 nights. But it was just the cheaper option, to be honest. It was Turkey was the cheapest place to go to, and 9 nights was the cheapest option of time. Holidays were expensive, and we've not been away for quite a while, and we still didn't want to spend a load of money. Turkey was the place. So we went to a place called Kusadasi. We flew into Izmir Airport, and that's where we decided to book an all-inclusive. So if you don't know what an all-inclusive is, basically you get all your meals, all your drink, alcohol, and everything's pretty much included. Sometimes you get some places where you have to pay additional fees for posh alcohol, but normally it's all locally sourced stuff, so local vodkas, local whiskers, or cheaper stuff, basically. But you can have as much of it as you want. They sometimes put times on it, but it's normally pretty liberal. Like, if you need an alcohol at 3 o'clock in the morning, or 4 o'clock in the morning, or 6 o'clock in the morning, there's probably something wrong, to be honest. So we flew from Manchester in the UK, in England, into Izmir Airport, and I will say, Manchester Airport was abysmal. They're trying to... the whole booking process was quite easy. We flew with Jet2, which I believe is a UK company. I'm not even sure. I didn't research this at all. Shock horror. But yeah, we flew with Jet2, and I must admit, the app and stuff they have was really good. You could check in online, give you a QR code to get through security, so you didn't have to go to the booking desk. But I like going to the booking desk. I like interacting with people. I like talking to people. Again, shock horror. You might be surprised to hear that. But, you know, I like keeping people in jobs, to be honest. And I think that the whole check-in process, there was these little machines you could use to weigh your own bags, put your own tickets on. And you know, if you're going to do that to me, charge me less money. I'm doing someone's job at the end of the day. I just, you know, the alarm's going off already. This is a bit of a rant coming. Like, I'm doing someone's job. I'm checking myself in. You've not, what I can see, give me any less discount on the holiday. You've not really given me a discount. I'm paying quite a lot of money to go abroad. And there was quite a lot of staff helping with self-check-in. So just put them on a desk and let everyone go to a desk and let someone speak to you rather than doing it through a machine. And I'm all for technology. I love technology. But yeah, you know, personal touch when you're on away, you know, speaking to someone. And the staff were very friendly, were helping out and pointing you where to go, but when you were using the machine, it was literally just a machine. It was quick and efficient, I'll give them that, even though I'd never used it before, quite self-explanatory, but yeah, I just think it's taking people's jobs, and I just don't like that, and I like the interaction. But anyway, we got through there. Security was terrible. I had a bit of a altercation with the security man. He basically was super rude to me, and I basically was like, you know, there's no harm to be, you know, have a bit of manners and say please. So I basically, what I was doing, when the security trades came through the security, I was packing my backpack up, just quickly throwing stuff in it. And I was literally about to pick it up, and he was like, can you take, and he was like, he literally shoulder barged me, get me attention, and literally was like, can you move that over there? And I was like, oh, I'm done now, pal, thanks. I said, I'm going over. And I didn't see this, like, thing behind me that was the place to pack, because on this conveyor belt, there was like a green area. So I presume the green area meant this is where you pack your stuff. And he was just so rude. And I was like, dude, there's like no need to be so rude. And he was really rude again. And he was like, what, do you expect me to say please to everyone? And I was like, yes, I bloody well do, to be honest. So we had a bit of an altercation. And I was like, I'd like to complain about you, actually. I said, have you got a manager? And he marched me around. And he was not arsed whatsoever. And a good start to the holiday, this. And I just thought, and I'm not being spoken to like that. You know, I'm meant to be going on holiday. Like, and I know they do that job day in, day out, and they probably have to repeat themselves a million times. I've done a job like that. I used to work in customer service on a train station. So I know what it's like to come across people that are doing things incorrectly, or you had to repeat yourself. But if the signage isn't there, put a sign up. You know what I mean? Have the other, you know, have it on your ticket saying when you're collecting your stuff, move the stuff over there. Like, I haven't flown for quite a while, to be honest, and it changed since the last time I'd been. But anyway, I never really complained because everyone was too bloody busy. And another security guard basically apologized on this guy's behalf, who definitely wasn't going to apologize. And I just was like, yeah, call it quits there. And I just went back to what I was doing, to be honest. And it was just a bit of a downer to start the holiday. And then the actual Manchester Airport was down. This is going to take the whole bloody episode talking about the Manchester Airport. Manchester Airport was terrible. The departure line was nowhere to sit and eat. Everywhere was really full. We ended up going to Wagamama, which I always said I was never going to try. I don't know why I've got a bit of thing about it. It was actually okay. But it was like, there's five of us travelling. There's me, my wife, my best mate Scott, and my mother-in-law, and Sarah's auntie. And it was like £110 to eat in there. Crazy. One meal and one drink each. Oh, sorry, I'm drinking Pepsi. Not a sponsor. Yeah, it's crazy. Anyway, so we got on the plane, we flew, seats weren't very comfortable on the plane. Again, everything's been made to save money for everyone. Completely understand, you know, it's dear to fly, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, the seats were so uncomfortable. So we were so happy to get there. We had a late flight, so our flight was late as well. But we were leaving about like 4:30, I think it was, in the afternoon. So it was like a 5-hour flight. And they're 2 hours ahead. So we arrived about 12:30, it was 11:30, 11:30 at night. Then we had to transfer to the airport and stuff. So we didn't get to the airport until gone 1 a.m. Which isn't too bad, you know, it's just not too bad. We got to bed. I was up reasonably early and we could enjoy the first day exploring the hotel. Now, the first day in a hotel is always the weirdest because you don't really know where you go in, especially in an all-inclusive. Sometimes they have multiple restaurants. I mean, I've never been to one with multiple restaurants. This is the first time I've been to one where there was different places to eat, like that were completely separate. And the hotel itself was called the Tucson Beach Hotel, or Tucson, I don't know how you say it. And it was just around the corner from Kusadasi. Kusadasi? I don't know how you say that, neither. Terrible tourist, really. It was a nice hotel. It was classed as a 3-star. I would say it's probably on the money, really. It was nice enough. Staff were pleasant. And, yeah, the food was all right as well, you know. They did different things. There was something different every day to choose from. There was a couple of staples as well that reoccurred. You get that when you stay somewhere that's all inclusive. There's only so many meals that they can kind of turn over, I suppose. And because there's people coming and going, I suppose it stays a bit fresh for people. We really enjoyed it. We really enjoyed the food. It wasn't too well. I certainly enjoyed the food. There was always something I could eat. And generally on holiday, I lose a bit of weight as well because I think it's because I'm a bit more active. Wandering around, I don't like just to sit in the sun. Like, my wife will just go and sit in the sun, whereas me, I will, I, I like to take myself off somewhere, find a little hole to sit in. That sounds terrible. Not a hole, you know, like a nice space to sit and chill out and people watch and, you know, see the sunshine and stuff. And the hotel we were in was like pretty much right on the beach. There was a big pool. There was several pools actually. But me and my mate, he's again not really into sitting in the sun. And we kind of sat under the trees and stuff. And it was just nice with drinking coffee and having the odd beer and just chilling really. And that's the whole idea of the holiday. It was literally, as this episode's name suggests, it was just R&R, relaxing. Whatever R&R stands for, my brain's gone blank. God. I think I need another holiday. I can't think what it stands for. I just said it before. Anyway, you know what I mean. What was I saying? Yes, Jesus. I'm back to work tomorrow, and yeah, maybe I need another week. I just chilled out. I read a book. I read The Lost World, Jurassic Park, The Lost World. Because I had read Jurassic Park on my last holiday, which was like 3 years ago. 4 years ago. 4 years ago? 4 years ago. So I thought it was about time I read the second one, which I downloaded at the same time. So I had my Kindle with me. I had my Kindle Scribe with me. So I was actually like doing a bit of podcasting stuff at the same time. So it wasn't a complete like non-working holiday, but it was non-working for my day job. So I don't class this as work, really. It's a creative thing, isn't it? So I was like making notes, like, writing down some episode ideas, not researching anything, obviously, just writing down ideas. It was just really nice to chill out and take some time and, you know, not feel rushed. Went in the sea, it was lovely. It was really shallow to quite far out as well, so you could walk quite far out into the sea. And it was just a lovely time. And we went into Kusadasi one day as well. Now Turkey's kind of known for like textiles and stuff like that, so there's a lot of markets and let's say counterfeit goods. And so we walk around, and it was a lovely little place, to be honest, a little seaport. And I was really surprised about how many like cruise ships and stuff were actually docking in the port, because we, my hotel, could see like the bay area, and we could actually see like the ships coming in and going. And I was using one of the apps on my phone. It's called Marine Traffic. You've probably heard of it, and you can track ships. Like the flight radar thing where you can track planes, this one tracks ships. And it was just really nice to walk around the port. We went in a little cafe, had a coffee, and just had a quick wander around the markets, really. And say Turkey's known for like textile industry, and basically counterfeit goods. Now some of them seem really genuinely good counterfeit goods, if I'm honest with you, but I'm not really into that. I was considering buying some t-shirts and stuff like that, but you always think to yourself, like, they look good, but like when I wear them, you know, when I wash them, will they shrink, will the colors die, you know, the dye run out and stuff like that, you know. So I didn't, and to be fair, they weren't overly cheap actually, so I think they were going for the price. Well, if you bought this as the official thing, some of them actually would kind of make out as it was the official thing, but you know, they weren't. I think they were going off the thing of, if you bought this polo shirt from Ralph Lauren, it would be like 90 quid, so we're selling it for 20. It's like, well, I can get a polo shirt back home for tenner, so I'm not really saving anything. And I'm not one, I think I've said before in an episode, maybe the last episode actually, I've never really been for brand loyalty or anything like that with clothes. I like clothes because I like the look of them or the design of them, or, and if it happens to be Nike or Ralph Lauren and stuff like that, then that's fair enough. But then I also have a price limit as well, so normally if I do like it, it's some brand, and it goes over my threshold of price, then I'm not buying it anyway. So I'm thinking, why would I pay 20 quid for a fake t-shirt? I'm not going to, am I? My theory, anyway. But it makes me laugh, because there was a watch shop, and there was literally a sign outside that said, genuine fake watches. Genuine fake watches. Now, I was laughing quite hard at this, because it's just so in your face, isn't it? Like, a genuine fake watch. It just sounds wrong to say that. But yeah, that's how they were advertising, though. They were kind of blatantly advertising that, you know what, we know these are fake, but they're quite cheap, and they look really good. And as far as I believe, that some of the factories for some of the companies are actually in Turkey. So they are probably the real material, or maybe even come from the same factory the real ones are made in, and this is like a sideline for them. Illegal, obviously. But yeah, it's quite eye-opening. And the vendors weren't as pushy as the last time I was in Turkey. I was in Turkey, when was it about? Oh God, no, I don't even want to think about it. Probably about 14 years ago with a previous partner, and they were quite pushy in the market we went to. That was a different part of Turkey. And they were quite in your face, and as soon as you showed interest in something, they'd start piling stuff on you. So my girlfriend at the time was looking at this jewellery shop, and this woman just started literally putting jewellery on her. And when I literally popped off to look at another thing, when I came back to her, she was literally covered in jewellery going, like, help me, this woman's mental, and she won't let me go, and she won't let me take any of the jewellery off, because every time she took something off, the woman was actually putting something else on her. And they kind of do it in like a nice enough way, but as soon as you kind of reject it, they do. Well, in my experience in that place, they were getting a bit nasty with you because you were like reject. Just drop something again. Sorry, I need to tidy this. I know I keep saying that. I need to tidy this room. Yeah, but every it seems when we showed a disinterest, they can kind of get a bit nasty. And it was very much that in that market on my previous trip. Happy to say, it wasn't really the same this time. They were very much standoffish. Very much, they would actually say to you, oh, we won't hassle you, you come and look in our shop, we won't hassle you. You know, as soon as you got in there, they were a little bit hassly, but not as much as if they have been. And I could tell one of the guys in one of the shops was kind of really trying to reel it in, like he was trying to like really hold back how we wanted to be, which it's kind of nice because they're kind of adapting to how we like things to be, really. And British people are kind of conservative as well. We like to just wander around, and we kind of like someone to know when we need help, because we also don't like to go and ask for it. So we kind of like a bit of a meeting of eyes to have like that mutual understanding, like, now I want you to come over and help me. Like, I am ready for your help. Yeah, but it was an interesting experience. Kushtasy was really nice and bigger than I thought as well, and a bustling metropolis, really. It wasn't a huge place, but it was a lot more built up than I was expecting. And I say all these bloody cruise ships kept coming in and out. Look, there was like at least like two or three a day the entire time we were there. It's crazy. Yeah, so the hotel itself was quite large. I say it had like three or four pools, I think it was. And it was round the beach, which was a nice bonus, to be honest. I think, however, we were a bit spoiled, because the last holiday we went on, we've been there a couple of times, and we went to Marrakesh in Morocco. We stayed in this lovely hotel, and it was just divine. It was just one restaurant, but everything centralised around it, and there was a big pool, which was absolutely bloody freezing, and there was an indoor pool, which was nice, because it was heated. But it was just such a lovely place. Like, there was all these little, like, escape places you could go to. So it was like a little bar area, then there was a little seating area, then there was another little seating area tucked away somewhere else, and there was like a big like Moroccan style lowered seating area in the main lobby. There was these little like vestibule areas you could go to. There was seating indoors, seating outdoors. Yeah, it was just a really, really, really lovely hotel. So as always, you do find yourself comparing, and we were comparing the hotel we were in Turkey to the Marrakesh one, and unfortunately for the one in Turkey, there was no real comparison. But the one in Marrakesh was classed as like a 4 or 5 star hotel, and this was a 3. So, in fairness, like, they didn't do too bad. And there was entertainment every night as well in the one in Turkey. There was an entertainment team, as there normally is. And they did a great job. Like, we didn't really attend that much. I ventured out onto the comedy night one night, and it was all right. It was very much like a pantomime kind of thing. And they were trying to cater for all the different languages there, because there was a lot of different European languages. There was also Russians, Ukrainians, and there was people from Holland, France, Italy. There was so many people there. Germans. What I did find is they were very rude, a lot of them, and that sounds terrible. And I don't want to sound like a hater to the other guests, but we found, like, when we were going to the restaurants, so even just walk around the hotel, you'd smile at people and they would just not smile back. And I don't know whether that's a cultural thing or the fact that the British are kind of maybe overly polite sometimes. But even in the restaurant, you were queuing up for some food and stuff. And, like, bearing in mind, it's all inclusive and there's piles of stuff. They're not going to run out of anything. Like, you'd be stood, like, politely queuing, as the British are very good at doing. And someone just literally would walk in front of you and start loading the plate up before you could get a chance to, like, pick the spoon up or whatever. And you'd be like, wow. And I said something to a couple of people, not, like, rude. I just went, oh, I was next. And they would literally either completely ignore you or just look at you as if you were a piece of shit. And it was just like, wow. Like, and when some of the British guests arrived, they were like, is everyone grumpy? Is it us? And we were like, no, people are pretty grumpy. And I'd like to say that I think there was a bit of a turnaround in people in the hotel. So after a few days, some more people arrived and people left and seemed to be a few more happier people arriving, which was nice. Because it was really awkward getting into a lift with someone and, like, smile at them, and they would literally either ignore you or just give you, like, a filthy look. And it's just like, well, I'm just smiling at you. So I don't know if that's a cultural thing, but I don't know, maybe... I think I hate to say, COVID did change a lot of things, so maybe people are just wary or involves a bit of social interactivity. I don't know. It was bizarre to me anyway. But overall, we had a lovely time. We travelled back. Turkey Airport, the Izmir Airport, was amazing. It was late at night again. We had a late flight coming back. Again, it was delayed. But it was quite an empty airport when we came back. But it was really, really modern and really nice. And we flew back and we got back to the UK. We finally got home at 4 a.m. into the house. And I do feel relaxed, and I would say I'm ready for work, but, you know, who is ready for work, really? I could have stayed there, like, another week at least, to be honest. I really enjoyed swimming in the sea every day. I didn't lose as much weight as I did on my last holiday. Still got a bit of a gut, which I'm going to work on. But, yeah, it was a nice time, and would I go back? I would, probably. Maybe not to the same hotel, but I'd definitely go back to Turkey. It was a better experience than my previous one. But yeah, I had a nice time. So I think that wraps it up for this episode, really. I hope you've had a nice time while I've been away. I did pre-record a couple of episodes, so this one's now going to be episode 10. And episode 10, I think I say episode 10, innit, will be now episode 11. So ignore me when I say episode 10. Don't get confused. That will be now episode 11. Yeah, so thank you very much for listening. If you want to be an absolute superhero, you can now subscribe to my channel, pay a small fee, and it helps me out greatly. I might even go on Patreon at some point and stuff like that, and maybe give some, like, extra treats out to you all, anyone that subscribes. For now, just have a look in the description of this episode, and you should be able to find everything you need. But thank you very much for listening, and I'll speak to you again soon. I can find the outro music. You've been listening to Stephen Speak the Podcast. Thanks for listening to my unscripted prattle on everything and nothing. Visit stephenspeak.com for updates, information, and my blog. You can follow more updates on social media at StephenSpeakPC. Thanks very much, and I'll speak to you soon.